How's it going, Armstrong County? Welcome to the Greatest City in the World podcast. I am Andrew Ladisaw. I'm here with two candidates for Armstrong School Board, and I just want to give these guys some opportunity to introduce themselves. I've never done a candidate interview with two people at the same time.
There's a first for everything.
It's an exciting day.
Yeah, it's like a presidential race where we have like running mates.
Yeah. So I'm hoping it's not going to be like a debate. I think these two are pretty on the same page. So I'm just going to let you guys introduce yourselves. Why don't we start with you, Missy?
Melissa Wadding. Usually go by Missy. I'm actually running for Region 2 School Board. I guess that kind of covers East Franklin, Katanning Borough, Applewald, Rayburn, Worthington, West Franklin, and Washington. I think that's all of them.
I'm very excited to interview you guys as well, because I'm in Rayburn myself, so you will have potentially one voter right here to convince that you're the right choice. And you, sir.
And I am John Thomas. I am also running for Region 2 of the Armstrong School Board. We're both running as libertarians, so you will not see us on your May primary ballot. If you pick up the Democrat ballot, you're going to see the Democratic candidates. If you pick up the Republican ballot, you'll see the Republican candidates. And there is no libertarian ballot, so you are not going to see us on the ballot. But we are pretty confident that we will collect the required number of signatures to be on the ballot in November.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you guys will be... If you're looking on your ballot and you don't see any choices that look good to you, just know that there's more options available.
Yes. Coming up.
Or there will be in the November.
So stay tuned.
So how did the two of you, how did the two of you meet and want to do this? To have two libertarian candidates on the ballot at one point is kind of an unprecedented thing, probably. And then how did you guys, I'm assuming there was something that happened where you guys came together and were like, hey, we should do this. And then... like to make that decision, was there something that made you arrive at this conclusion?
Yeah, well, I think I decided to run first as a libertarian. And what had happened was I just saw a need there of things going on. I had a couple people reach out to me, ask me if I'd be interested in running. And at first I was like, no, but let's reach out to the people who are already running. If they're doing a lot of what I wanted to do, and I couldn't get contact information for all of them. So, but the ones I did reach out to, they didn't meet my philosophy in a lot of cases. So I said, all right, I guess I'll do it. And as part of that, one of the things that I want to do whenever I'm on the school board is reach out more to our families who are homeschooling and more to our families who are in private schools, because they're paying taxes. Mm-hmm. and we ought to be able to serve them. So I knew that Missy was homeschooling, so I reached out to her and I was sharing some of my ideas, and I said, I know you're part of a homeschooling community. Maybe you could reach out to them and we could work together. And Missy was kind of taken aback, because she's like, I thought the deadline for collecting signatures had already passed.
Yeah.
Because it had passed for the Republicans and Democrats.
Right.
So I explained to her a little bit about libertarianism and the party and a little bit about the process and how it's different for us. And she said, well, can I be part of that?
So tell us your story. How did you, obviously John forced you into it.
Yeah.
No, just joking.
Well, no, actually, last year sometime, in the fall, my husband actually brought it up to me about running for school board, and I kind of kicked the idea around a little bit and essentially just kind of dropped it, and then he brought it up again, and I was kind of thinking about it, and then actually... we had also gone to a Christmas party with Dr. Nipshield, and I was talking to him a little bit about it, and he was telling me how whenever his kids were in school, they actually went to a private school, but he was on their school board.
Okay.
And so I was like, okay, well, it is possible. And I originally kind of thought, like I mentioned to you, that my kids are homeschooled. They're not in the school system, but I'm concerned about the other kids that are in the school system and the different things that I have heard that they've gone through. John was collecting signatures, and I told him I would go ahead and run. I mentioned or sign his petition. Then I mentioned about kicking around the idea a little bit. And then he, yeah, just kind of was like, okay, convinced me to do it.
Yeah. It's really exciting. And it's cool because, you know, you have, we're a homeschool family as well. And so I kind of have that same heart. We have a lot of youth that attend our church and different things. You hear stories about things that they're going through in school, and especially through like the COVID time and how all that affected them. And it was like, it was really eye-opening to me to kind of be able to talk to those teenagers for the first time. And, but for the most part, I've been pretty insulated from what's happening in Armstrong School District. So I'll be interested to hear your guys's take on everything and what you're planning. But before we get into that, like, what do you feel like drives you guys as individuals that makes you, you know, want to do something like this? It's kind of a thankless job, right? I mean,
It truly is. I'm pretty sure the Pennsylvania Constitution stipulates that school board directors can't be paid.
Yeah.
So that's the most common way you thank somebody for doing a job is you give them a paycheck.
Right.
So why would anybody run for school board? Well, there are several reasons. One is you have a family member who is part of the school system.
Sure.
So you want to influence that because it has a direct incentive. Another reason is you care about the education of what's going on there. And that's one of the main reasons I'm running. I have been involved in education for about a decade and a half. I actually used to, whenever I first got into education, I substitute taught within the Armstrong School District.
Oh, wow.
So I've been in most of the, well, I was going to say most of the secondary schools, but I was in them before Armstrong existed.
Right.
So I wasn't in Armstrong in that capacity, but I was in Katanning High School, the Katanning Middle School, West Shamokin High School, and several of the elementary schools as well. And then I ended up going into cyber education. I worked for a private cyber school for a while, and now I work for a charter school. So education's important to me, but also liberty is important to me as a libertarian. So that's kind of why I got involved and why I'm seeking, as you said, a thankless job.
Right, yeah.
Because I think I can make a difference for the Armstrong school district. It's something that I'm passionate about, something I care deeply about, and I've cared about it for a long time. So yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Melissa?
Well, I mean, as I mentioned, it just kind of, for me, just kept coming up. And I personally kind of feel like it was just a calling from God. And the way things have just lined up with everything, it's weird. Like, I've talked to my husband about this so many different times, and like timing wise of this thing happening and then this thing happening. And like, it's almost like this is what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I mentioned before, I was like, well, you know, it didn't really matter to me. But after hearing all the different stories from, you know, the other people in the homeschool groups, you know, and people leaving the school district because of the things that are happening, and it really hurts. And I've reached out to the community about different things that they would like to see changed, things that they like. One of the biggest things I've seen is the bullying.
Mm-hmm.
That is the number one thing that people have complained about. And if I could have a penny for every tear I've shed for the stories I've heard from people.
Wow.
And so it's one of the things I'm like, I need to see what I can do to change this. And then with the COVID thing.
Right.
That was my original thing, why my kids didn't go back, because I wasn't going to have them, you know, sitting in a mask all day long and
right.
And not being able to see somebody's face, because facial expressions are extremely important.
Yeah, definitely.
Actions speak louder than words.
Yeah, we had our homeschool co-op, the one that we're involved with, they went from like, I think they doubled from the time of 2020 to now, just in 3 years, and it's all Armstrong School District kids.
Yeah.
And so it's, there's definitely something happening, and it's, you know, something needs to shift in order for those families to consider going back, whether they will or not, I don't know, but
And I don't topic. I don't necessarily see that as a bad thing. Right. I think that people saw an opportunity there. There were a lot of problems with COVID, but I think one of the silver linings of that great COVID cloud, that dark cloud of COVID that hung over this nation for so long, was that people did see, you know what, maybe I can figure out a way to school my kids from home. Sure. Maybe I can do this alternative route. And I think that that there are some good things that have come out of that.
Yeah.
And we need to empower families who want to make that choice to be able to do that.
Yeah. If they choose that, then, you know, they can know that they are going to be able to do it.
Right.
And it's not for everybody. I've talked to many people. They're like, well, I don't feel like I could do that. And that's why there does need to be other options like that.
Yep. Yeah, it's certainly a blessing to be able to, but there's reality. It doesn't work for everyone.
Yeah.
We're going to go into problems and opportunities here in a minute, but I do just want to start with, like, Armstrong School District, obviously you guys care about it. What do you guys like about the district right now? Like, what do you see that are positives there that can be built upon?
I'm always seeing different groups starting up, different clubs, different activities. I've been following a lot, like, on the different Armstrong, you know, school district pages and stuff, and I do see all kinds of different things that I didn't have the opportunity. I went to Elderton.
Yeah.
I graduated with about 60 people.
You're right.
So I'm like, we were a small school. We didn't have as many opportunities, but I do see, too, that there's some different things out in the community that can be taken care of as well, that can be utilized.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like all the different club options and the special education. I feel like that's a big thing. I've seen a lot of people talk. My knowledge was, now I don't have, you know, kids in that situation, but my knowledge was always West Hills was a good school for that.
Mm-hmm.
I've also been hearing a lot lately that Shannock is pretty good for the special education as well. So, I mean, that's important to a lot of people and a very important thing to have.
Yeah, very cool.
And I have a daughter enrolled in Armstrong, so I love that student especially, but I love many of the students. I work with the children's ministry at my church, so I know a lot of the kids who are going to the school, and they mean a lot to me. But really, I love this community. I'm much like you, Andy. I am an implant in Armstrong County. I'm not originally from Armstrong County, but I call it home. Yeah. And it's a great community and great families. And I think that if we can keep the decision making within this community, we can do great things, because there are great people in this community, great people who care passionately about this community and care about the future of this community. And if we can make the decisions here, keep the decisions local, we are going to have a fantastic school district here, a fantastic group of young people, and those young people are going to be the people who are going to take care of us whenever we're older. So we need to have those great young people coming up, and I think that we can do that if we take control of the schools and keep that control at a local level.
Yeah, so many people always talk about the next generation. They're lazy and they're all this and blah blah blah. And every one of them that I've met, if you get them pointing in the right direction on something they're passionate about, they are very smart. They are incredibly tech savvy and talented. And they're like, they're going to be ready to take over once they can find what they're passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
But so many times I just feel like they're not getting that. And there's no spark in them here. So they go somewhere else and find it. And then when they go to Pittsburgh or they go to, you know, Penn State, Happy Valley, or wherever, they go there and then they find that spark and they never come back.
Yeah. So there tends to be two options where you find that spark elsewhere and that's where you go, or you become apathetic.
Right.
And we don't want those, we don't want anybody to become apathetic. We want them to keep that spark, keep that drive alive. And we want to nourish that spark and keep it alive here, right here in Armstrong.
Absolutely.
Not somewhere else. If you go to Penn State, great. Come back here because we want you here.
Yeah, absolutely. So maybe that's a good segue. You know, there's a couple inside of every good thing. There's, there's maybe problems or things that could be worked on. So I'm assuming you guys have talked a lot about different problems, different opportunities that there are within the district. I mean, what are the things that highlight for you or the things that you'd really like to work on if you were elected to the board?
Well, I guess my biggest thing is transparency. Well, the bullying I did mention, but transparency. I mean, I've been in the school board meetings. They have their executive closed door meetings where that's where everything is discussed, and you don't know all the details of everything that went on behind that closed door. You go, then you see, oh, they voted yes or no on this. Well, what are the details about it?
Right.
You know, what's going on there? The curriculum. Obviously, the parents need to know what's in that curriculum. I choose my kids' curriculum. I get to review everything. Even if my kids, there was actually a bunch of different book sales recently, and we went, and my daughter was picking out some different books. She's a big fan of comic books, and I was like, I'm going to read these first, and I'm going to review them.
Yeah.
Some of them, no, we got rid of. Other ones, I was like, this book is good. You can... you know, look over this. So it, you need to know what's in that.
Yep, definitely.
I guess, well, another big thing too, so I have to have some notes here.
That's totally fine.
But a lot of people with the school shootings and stuff that have been going on. And I know I had seen something not too long ago where the sheriff had mentioned about if there were something that happened at that high school, there's one road in and out. Like, it would take forever for people to get in there. I know it's been a big talking point for a lot of people about, you know, teachers being able to conceal carry. If they want to, I'm all for that. I think that would be a great wall to stop, you know, some danger toward the kids.
Sure.
And obviously security guards. But again, I feel, and I just saw something actually today before I came over here, that... the security guards also need to be plain clothes as opposed to like, here I am, I'm a security guard. You know, someone can go in there. If they are looking to do someone harm, they can go in there, go straight to that security guard. Nothing else is stopping them. But if they don't know who it is and they're just roaming the halls.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's been a big.
Something I haven't really thought about before.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting. I've gone into that school and there's the one way in, one way out.
That's the only way.
And it's pretty deep in there,
if
too.
You get that blocked off, you know,
yeah.
Helicopters, the only other.
right.
And we're in Armstrong County, so let's be real about who's in Armstrong
and
County.
Parents would be.
It's, a lot of times people will bring up something like teachers being able to conceal carry, and teachers will be like, well, I'm not comfortable carrying a firearm, and that's fine. Like, you don't have to carry a firearm if teachers are allowed to conceal carry. Kids who live in Armstrong County are around teachers who conceal carry at grocery stores. They're around teachers who conceal carry at church. They're around teachers who conceal carry in parking lots. The only place where the teachers aren't allowed to conceal carry and protect these kids is in the school building itself.
Right.
So it's, and it's not like these teachers who are concealed carrying every other aspect of their life are somehow more dangerous once they're in the school.
Right.
So we need to just let them have the freedom to do what they do in every other day of their life.
Yeah.
While they're at work. So that issue is important to me. The bullying issue, like Missy was saying, the transparency issue. One of the things about transparency that I'm aware of, I think a little bit more than a lot of people, is that having transparency in the curriculum sometimes isn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be transparent about what the teachers are learning as well, and how the teachers are being taught to implement that curriculum. I like to give an example where you could have the curriculum say something like, what are the ratio of boys to girls in a classroom where there are 36 boys and 24 girls? That's a big classroom.
Yeah.
These numbers I'm making out off the top of my head. And then you'd be like, okay, that's a legitimate question. That makes sense. But if in the training to implement that curriculum, that's used as a jumping off point to discuss how there might be more than two genders, and you can't know the true ratio until you know how many of these other genders there are, then that what the parents are seeing in the curriculum is just that question.
Right.
What they're not seeing is anything that's trained for how the implementation goes. So part of that transparency is being able to see what's involved in the trainings. And for example, Act 49, which just came through, requires schools to do a little bit more of the CRT mm-hmm. training. And that needs to be transparent. Like, we need to, the community needs to see what that training looks like. And if it's solid training, if it's meaningful and it's going to help the teachers interact with their students better, then it's going to help the community interact with their students better. So if it truly is good training, why wouldn't you want it to be transparent?
Yeah,
why
absolutely.
Would you want it to be hidden?
Yeah, especially if tax, you know, you want to know what you're paying for.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what your kids are taking in if you have kids in the school system as well. So yeah, it's incredibly important. So so that's good. I mean, is there anything else that you wanted to add to the list there?
One thing I did want to mention is Armstrong School District, I think in the past year, maybe 2 years, reached a milestone. And I don't think it's a very positive milestone either. We crossed the $100 million mark for what our budget is.
Oh, wow.
$100 million. That's a lot of money. And another threshold that we just passed recently is we dropped below 5,000 students. We had a budget that was below 100 million and a student population above 5,000. We just flipped that where we went above $100 million and dropped below 5,000 students. So what does that mean? Well, that means we are spending right now over $20,000 per student per year.
Oh, wow.
So if you think of a kid being in K through 12 at an Armstrong school, we spend over $250,000 per student K through 12 education. Now, we need to stop and ask ourselves, are we getting $250,000 worth of value out of that? Would like, if we were sending parents a check for $250,000 whenever their kid hit kindergarten and saying, here you go, use this on education, how many of our kids would be ready for Harvard at the time of graduation? Like, that's a lot of money that we're spending, and I'm not sure that we're getting $250,000 worth of value out of each and every student who's going to the Armstrong School District.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I did actually, that was one of the things I wanted to touch on, the way, like, the kids are dropping, the enrollment's dropping, but the budget's going up.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, you're in insurance. If you started to have, like, clients dropping off, right. And you went to your existing clients and be like, oh, I need to raise your premiums because our number of clients are dropping off. They would look at you like you're nuts.
Well, and then in the last meeting, them saying about their 5-year plan is that they're going to have to raise taxes.
Okay.
I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, this is all news to me, friends. So you're opening my eyes. I think I have 4 kids, and I think our homeschool budget was about $1,000. And even that, I was telling my wife, man, that's crazy. I can't believe you're spending that much on stuff.
So it's not for 4 kids. It should be $1 million for K through 12.
I know. I hope she doesn't listen to this.
She's like, oh, okay. Curriculum sales coming up.
Yeah, right. No, it's happy to spend whatever I need to on my kids. But but yeah, that's pretty wild. So $100 million budget. I mean, I'm looking for the borough of Katanning, I believe, has like a $2 million budget for the entire borough. 4,000 people, and I know the county budget is well under $100 million as well. So very interesting when you think about it that way, because that's probably by far the biggest expenditure across the county is in Armstrong School District. So well, let's walk back through a couple of these things and go maybe a little bit deeper. The bullying thing, you kind of just touched on that. We're hearing different things about that. I mean, I there's obviously been a lot of different stories, very public stories, like the thing that happened with the hockey game last year, and then there was an incident in the school where there was a big fight, and it was, you know, that still hearing about those things, honestly, and I think that's 1 or 2 years later for both of those things. So are you just talking about those, or are there other concerns that you're hearing from the community that you feel like need to be addressed?
A lot of things kind of along those lines. I did receive an email from someone that actually had gone to the school, and they were telling me about the bullying that they had received. And the biggest thing that I was concerned about, because unfortunately you can't stop it all. I mean, sure. I went to a small school, we had bullying, you know, you can't stop it all 100%. But the one thing that really stuck out to me whenever, you know, this person sent me the email, they were telling me how the teacher was aware of it, and the teacher just was kind of like, eh, well, that sucks. And I was like, wait.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe. But yeah, I mean, that's, if that's, you know, something that's happening, then that definitely needs addressed.
Yeah.
You know, all these schools say about having a zero bullying policy. Well, then why are these kids not being punished? I mean, I was in detention, and I, like, I don't know, skipped homework or something. something stupid, and I was in detention. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I wonder, so...
We are the detention candidates, because we've both spent some time
I think
in
I had,
there,
like, so. One day.
Yeah. I had an in-school suspension for tardies myself, so I guess we're quite a trio. If they still counted tardies, I would probably be suspended much more often, because I'm late everywhere, but... So, okay, well, that's interesting. So, I mean, do you have any, like, I'm not sure if you've kind of looked into how other places handle those kinds of things, what you'd be able to do to implement. I'm not sure.
I that's what I kind of want to look into. Yeah. I would love to be able to just take walks through the schools, talk to the kids, talk to the teachers that are there every single day, seeing it day in and day out. I'd love to just see a day in the life of, you know, teacher and student. And I'm open to some different ideas to try to implement things like that. I mean, from what I've seen, you know, it needs addressed. Mm-hmm. I think if it were addressed, that would help. And I know a lot of it can, you know, end up falling on parents and peers too, you know, people interacting together and they're being, you know, pushed into making fun of someone, let's say.
Yeah. And maybe it just goes along with the transparency that we're talking about as well. Cause it's like, well, if there was more openness about, hey, here's the policy, here's how it works. If you're being bullied, this is the steps that you would follow. Yeah. And like, if that was more public, maybe that would help.
Yeah, and go to somebody, tell somebody.
Yeah.
And I think that two things that really help with this is students knowing that somebody cares. Mm-hmm. Like, whenever my kids have come to me before and said that something made them uncomfortable or And I've had to talk with them about how this is inappropriate or that, and they know that if they would treat another kid in a way that was disrespectful, I would be disappointed in them.
Sure.
And that would matter to them because they know I care about them. You don't want somebody who cares about you to become disappointed in you.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes students feel like there isn't somebody who cares about them. So they lose that little bit of motivation that you get from disappointing somebody who cares about them. Mm. So we need to put institutions and teachers do care about their kids.
Yeah.
I mean, I work with teachers. I know that there are teachers by and large care about their kids. But we need to talk about ways that they can express that.
Mm-hmm.
And express that caring. Another thing that I think leads to bullying and all other kinds of mischief is is a feeling of hopelessness.
Yeah,
we were talking about it a little bit ago, where a lot of times students in this area feel like there isn't a lot of hope or direction in this area. And we need to inspire them that there is hope and direction in this area. Heck, we're spending almost a quarter or over a quarter of $1 million on your education right now.
Yeah.
Like, there's hope. And you do have that hope. And we can build on that. And we can build a great community here. And there is hope in what we do.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay, well, that's great. The transparency thing is really interesting when you mentioned that, the school board meeting. Because I remember probably about a year ago, I went on and for a few months in a row, I went on and watched the school board meeting because they post the videos afterwards. And it was like 20 minutes. It was like, yeah. Here's the vote for this. Yes, 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 yes.
Everything is a 9-0 vote.
Yeah, so it went through the whole thing and I was like, that was it?
Yeah.
There had to be something more than that. And so, but I didn't realize. So there's executive session. Mm-hmm. That's where they're doing all the talking. And then, but then nobody sees it. So
exactly. Yeah. I got in there and I was told, oh, they're in an executive meeting right now. I'm like, okay, well, I want to walk in. I want to see what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Like, transparency.
Yeah. Cause if you're going to have, how are voters ever supposed to hold someone accountable to what they voted for them mm-hmm. for if they're not being able to see?
Yeah.
The process of what's actually happening.
Yeah, so. And many states have laws. I don't know if Pennsylvania does or not, but many states have laws against what's called a walking consensus,
mm-hmm.
where you get enough members of a governing body to meet somewhere that's not in the public
mm-hmm.
eye and determine that and create a consensus,
mm-hmm.
and then whenever they are in the public eye, they just vote yes or no. Yeah. Without having that debate happen in somewhere that's transparent. So we definitely need to see more transparency in our school boards, because really, I don't see how any group of nine people, well, maybe it's just me, because maybe I'm that guy that if there's a group of nine people, I'm going to stir the pot enough that it's not going to be a vote of 9-0, because I'm very good at stirring pots.
Yeah. So it'll be at least 8-1.
It would be at least 8-1.
Yeah, fair enough.
And like who, I know, okay, so Zoom is the big thing, but does everybody honestly like get on Zoom and watch? Like, how about a Facebook Live or something? I know most people are on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
That's where everything happens nowadays.
Yeah.
So do a Facebook Live.
We had a libertarian candidate who was elected to the North Apollo Council.
Yeah.
And one of the things that he implemented was Facebook live streaming their meetings. And the other councilman got so angry with him because people are coming to me and complaining about this thing that happened in our meeting. Yeah. It's all because of your podcast, they would say. Which is, wasn't a podcast at all. It was just his live streaming of the event. But
the community needs to know.
But yeah, that's a good thing. Like, if your constituents are coming to you and telling you what they think now, that's a good thing.
Absolutely. They voted for you. You answer to them.
Yeah, absolutely. So are you guys like, I mean, let's say you both got elected, but they still decide 7-2 that they're going to do everything in executive session. What would your guys' process be to like bring more transparency into the board? Like, would you do, I don't know, Facebook Live afterwards? Hey, here's everything we talked about.
Yeah. I think that's a good idea. I'd be posting all over the place.
Yeah. Like,
this is what I voted yes or no on. This is what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a very tough time keeping my thoughts in my head anyways. So.
Yeah. If you're not following John on Facebook as a personal friend, there's no better man.
It's an adventure.
Yeah, I love it. I absolutely. You're my favorite Facebook follower that I have.
Oh, I appreciate that.
2,500 people. But okay, well, that's good. So you guys are both committed to that idea of transparency personally. I'll just go keep going through. I'm just going to walk down curriculum. What are the, like, are you seeing concerns in curriculum? And I, you know, you mentioned Act 49. Ashley mentioned that too in the other video. If you haven't watched that one yet, you can go check out that one for Region 3. But this idea of curriculum, like, there's obviously that's been a big debate across the nation when it comes to like CRT and some of the other issues that are being dealt with right now. Do you feel like those are concerns at a local level, or like, what are you guys thinking about when it comes to curriculum?
Like, I don't
from it being a concern.
Feel like it's huge, I guess, as of yet. But that's not to say things aren't coming.
Right.
I've seen other people talking about, and I was saving all the information from other people that, you know, were giving me feedback and stuff. But, you know, things going on, I believe the one person mentioned Marion Center. And I'd have to go back through my notes and see exactly the details that they mentioned. But it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a big thing, the CRT or, you know, variations thereof. Because nobody, you know, should be made to feel inferior to anybody else based upon, you know, sex, race, you know, the way their nose is shaped, whatever.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Are you seeing, like, what do you think, John?
Yeah, I think that this again is where I think local control is important.
Mm-hmm.
The culture of a community, varies from different parts of the state, and we can't have curriculum decisions coming from the state. We need to control that ourselves And whenever possible, I would be willing to say no to Harrisburg. And there are times whenever you can and you should say no to Harrisburg. And I think that the reason why we're not as far along that path is because we have a culture where some of our teachers will say no. Mm-hmm. I know some of the teachers personally, and they're told if you're told to teach this thing that they don't agree with, they just won't do it.
Yeah.
They'll just nullify it right there in the classroom. But they also do that with a slight bit of fear for their job and their livelihood.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And they need to have people on the school board who will have their back.
100%.
Whenever they make those tough calls and they say, I'm going to do what's right in my classroom. Mm-hmm. And with me there and with Missy there, they would have at least two people on the school board who will say, yeah, we've got your back.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I think that kind of came up in the other conversation too that I haven't really thought a whole lot about, but you have different situations where you can fight that battle of how the thing is going to be implemented. So if you get something from Harrisburg and you can do the softest possible implementation possible to where it's basically nullified, or getting into a legal battle and like being the one saying, says, hey, the buck stops here and someone's going to have to take a stand. And if it has to start at Armstrong, that's where it has to start. And so, but I'm sure out of $100 million, there has to be something in there for a legal fund.
We could find something to pay for a good lawyer. Another thing that you can do is one of the problems with Act 49 is it's kind of vague in how they're doing it. So yeah, that implementation, you can have some leeway in what you do. And I could, I've done a lot of reading and I could suggest some books that we could put into our curriculum that would probably put Armstrong on the map. But and then they would probably say, you can't have that as part of this implementation. And I could always bring up, are you suggesting we ban books?
Yeah. Yeah.
And
I feel like you'd be really good at that. Yeah.
I like to stir the pot, Andy.
Yeah. Sometimes the pot needs stirred, and that's just the fact of the matter. So you need someone there that's going to push back and be able to...
And that's
at least ask the question.
It takes somebody with courage, and once people see one person with courage who's standing up, mm-hmm. others will stand up. And I saw that. I actually saw that at the charter school where I work. They actually passed a policy that I didn't agree with. It was a policy full transparency here. They passed a policy where they said if a student identifies as a different gender than what they biologically are, every employee needs to respect that on all documents, all communication, and you can't disclose it to the parents.
Mm. Wow.
So essentially, I don't even know how you would implement that without like keeping two sets of books, like one set of books that goes to the parents and one set of books that you keep internally.
Yeah.
And no honest person keeps two sets of books.
Right.
Like that. So I spoke up about that policy at one of the school board meetings, and immediately after that, I got so many communications from other employees who said, because you did that, I'm now going to stand up.
Right.
And so once they see one person doing it, they're willing to stand up and make a difference themselves.
Yeah, the silent majority is a very real thing. And a lot of times, yeah, it's just, hey, someone doesn't know how to move forward with it, but one person does, and then all of a sudden the ball starts rolling.
I've joked around with people. I'm like, I don't have any friends, so it won't matter. I won't lose any. So.
Homeschool mom, that's what happens.
Yeah, exactly.
You're
just like,
your friends are your kids.
You're internal for like 15 years.
But no, I went through that. Like I with the whole mask thing. Sure. I was like, I'm not doing this. And I would walk into places and people are like, how did you get away with that? I'm like, I just did it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they're all rip it off.
Yeah. right?
Yeah, it takes one person to stand up and give people courage.
That mask example is a good example because everyone wore them until they saw one person who wasn't.
Right. And then no one did.
And then no one did.
Yeah, at least Armstrong County. Well, the last thing on the list here is the $100 million budget, maybe the elephant in the room. Have you been able to dig into the school budget? Do you see opportunity there, or is that something that you're just kind of looking forward to being able to do?
There are certainly some opportunities. One of the things that happens, and it's a tough one, is that schools get grants, and those grants come with all kinds of strings attached. Mm. And sometimes the strings make things more costly and complicated than what the grant's worth.
Sure.
But everyone thinks they need to get grants because everyone thinks that we need to rob the school district next to us.
Yeah.
like, sure, we wouldn't be paying for this if it came out of our budget or our taxpayers, but it's not coming out of our taxpayers. It's coming out of taxpayers somewhere else in the state.
Right.
And every school district does it. And guess what? It ends up coming out of your taxpayers because that's what happens. So at some point, we need to examine the grants that we're getting, see what strings are attached to those, mm-hmm. and be willing to say, no, we don't want that grant because we don't want those strings,
sure.
because those strings are what drives up the costs. So that's one way. Another way is just looking at the budget differently. What the school looks at it as is they're like, oh, we get $105 million. And they don't really look at it as like, how is that being spent per student?
Mm-hmm.
They very rarely look at per pupil spending.
Mm-hmm.
And once you consider, okay, let's look at the student and see how things are being spent for this student. And then it changes the perspective of how you look at a budget.
Oh, yeah.
And once you look at a budget that way, then at the most recent school board meeting, they said that the budget was not increasing as fast as inflation was.
Mm-hmm.
Right after they said that they lost like 200 students.
Yeah.
Like it shouldn't be increasing at all. If you're looking at it as a per pupil spending measure, then it shouldn't be increasing at all.
Right.
And then there are other ways. I think the average employee has been at the district for like 16 or 17 years. That means there are a lot of employees who've been there 30 or 31 years,
right?
Because there are newer employees there, and you can lower the budget just by not replacing people as they retire, and work around. One of the conveniences of having a bigger school district with multiple schools. Is you can have people work at different schools.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have not every elementary school school needs their own music teacher, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have a music teacher who works some days at one school, some days at another school. Lots of schools don't have that flexibility. If they need a music teacher, they need one music teacher.
Right.
Whenever you have multiple schools, you can have half of a music teacher at one school and half of a music teacher at another school. Without doing anything Solomon would recommend.
Only a select few are going to get that joke. It was a good one. But no, it's okay. That's really good because I didn't realize that those numbers were continuing to flip. So there's that many less students and the budget stays the same. And so there has to be a lot of fixed administrative costs that maybe... don't mean to be there either.
what's amazing about those fixed costs is in states that have a lot of school choice, states like Utah that just passed an education savings account proposal, which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
What you see arising are micro schools, and these micro schools might have like 10 students in them. And so if your school's spending $20,000 per year, a teacher who opens up a micro school and charges you half that at 10,000 educates 10 students can take in 100 grand.
Right.
Now out of that 100 grand, they have to pay for the curriculum and everything like that. But they're doing it and they're doing it successfully. So whenever you think of scaling, it should be more expensive to open up a micro school with 10 students than it is because they have all that overhead for 10 students, mm-hmm. where we're spreading it out that overhead over 4,800 students.
Yeah.
So that overhead should actually be cheaper for us. Mm-hmm. But for somehow they're able to do these micro schools and be successful and make great gains.
Right.
So we need to look at those micro schools. What is it that they're doing? How can we take that micro school concept and implement it in a macro level?
Yeah. I got 4 kids. I don't know how many.
You had 2.
Okay, so we're halfway to a micro school.
You are halfway there.
Yeah.
I am sure there are teachers in this district who are like, if you send us the $20,000 per all 6 of those students, I will open up a micro school.
Yeah, I know a few homeschool moms that would probably be willing to do that.
And like it's a smaller, you know, like I said, I went to Elderton. So we had small school, small classes. Everybody knew everybody else. Whenever I found out, I think I was in college at the time. I don't remember exactly when they opened the high school. But whenever I found out they were opening this high school, I was concerned.
Yeah.
Because bigger school comes bigger problems. I think a smaller hands-on. I mean, I see with my kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we learn hands-on. We do tons of field trips, which that was one of the things I kind of a random thought that I had that would be a lot of fun. Like, so we have all these fields at the high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, we go to Civil War reenactments. We go to, you know, D-Day reenactment in Ohio. And why not bring those people in here as an educational opportunity to show the kids and have an actual live reenactment there for the kids?
Yeah.
You don't have to go out somewhere. You can bring those people in.
Yeah.
You have the space for it. And kids learn when they're seeing that as opposed to sitting here reading a book.
Right, right.
Although my kid's like, I would prefer a book. She also loves she loves the reenactments too.
Well, I think that's why the micro thing works, because the kids are so different and so unique.
Yeah.
And when you have that flexibility, when there's more freedom involved in the process.
Yeah. Yeah, more choice allows, like, we're moving into a microeconomy in so many aspects of our life. Like, you don't have a choice just between Folgers and Maxwell House anymore.
Right.
That's the old way of doing things. Like, whenever there was just Coke and Pepsi, there was just Folgers and Maxwell House.
Mm-hmm.
Now there are so many different brands of coffee. People have their own soda machines at home where they mix their own blend.
Yeah.
You have micro breweries. You don't just have to choose from Bud Light, but nobody drinks that around here anymore, or Miller Lite. Like, you have so many choices because all these microcosms are opening up opportunities in so many aspects of our economy. Yet we're still doing education the same way we were doing education in 1945.
Yeah, that's kind of the libertarian way, right? You give freedom and unleash the creativity of the market and let those things come to the surface.
That is what libertarianism is about, letting the market create and innovate.
Yeah, well, very cool. Is there any topic specifics that you wanted to mention that we didn't touch on yet? Otherwise, I'm just going to get to your final visions and let you guys make your final pitch.
I really liked Harvest, like the outreach that they were doing to the schools. I don't know all the details, but I know what they were bussing kids from, like, West Hills.
Yes.
Was it just the primary or was it the intermediate too?
It was just primary. It was just one grade this year. I think it was third grade.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But they were looking to expand it,
I think,
right?
Yes, they're looking
Which
to expand
it. I think that was just awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is a great opportunity for kids.
Absolutely. You know, my understanding, that used to be a very common thing, and it's just not now.
I've even told my kids recently, I never went to school until I met my husband and we started, church. See, I'm like in the school zone. I never went to church until I met my husband and we started dating.
Yeah.
And so I believed in God the whole way up through, but never had those opportunities. And so maybe there's other kids that are, you know, going through the same thing.
Has to be. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's that is something that I think used to be more common is community organizations, whether it be churches or anybody else, used to be more involved in schools.
Mm-hmm.
And now schools become, part of it, I think, is there are so many regulations. To even enter the school now, you have to have your FBI clearance and this and the clearance and that clearance. And, and people just don't want to go through those hoops where it used to be like anybody could go visit the school.
Sure.
So communities were more involved. But if we start doing things where churches and where businesses can start finding ways to get into the school, that's another way to cut our budget. Mm-hmm. Like
libraries, the local libraries.
Absolutely.
I know my oldest daughter, she volunteers at the Ford City Library, actually Wednesday mornings. Mm-hmm. We were down there this morning. She volunteers for a couple hours. And I see all the different outreaches and things that they do. They have the Divine Redeemer School going in there for different things all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So library, it's so underused.
Yeah, absolutely.
There are organizations that are willing to give away books. If you want a libertarian book, contact me. The Armstrong Libertarian Party has a pile of books we'd be willing to give you.
Yeah.
There are organizations that are willing to give kids food. Just let us tell kids about Jesus. We will give them food.
Yeah.
And we can take advantage of that. Like, not force kids to go out and learn about Jesus, but not restrict them from that either.
Right.
Like, these are opportunities where we can save money by allowing people to do what they want to do anyways.
Yeah, absolutely. So give me an idea, like, if you guys, let's say you get elected, you have 4 years, maybe 8 years, maybe 12 years, if you really like punishment, what's the school district going to look like a couple terms from now if you guys would kind of have your way and your model of school for Armstrong?
We're going to have students who have a lot of hope.
Yeah.
And we're going to have students who are who look forward to going to school every day. We're going to have flexibility where people who want to homeschool or private school or some other option are going to get assistance in how to do that from the school itself. And kids are going to feel like they are where they belong. Because not every kid belongs in the same place.
Mm.
And we need to let kids recognize that you are not a cookie cutter kid. You belong where you belong, and we're going to encourage that. And I think that this year there are five board seats up for election. In 2 years, there will be four more up for election. So if we can take... If Missy and I could take two of the five that are up this year, and we can get other great candidates like maybe Ashley to take one of the other ones,
right.
And then in 2 years, whenever there are four up again, we could make a big difference on that school board. I think that giving kids hope for the future here in Armstrong County and a little bit of Indiana County, because we do have. Although Region 2 doesn't go into Indiana County,
right?
But we can create a educational environment that's full of hope for our kids.
That's awesome. You have anything to add to that?
I say ditto.
Yeah,
I like what he has.
It's pretty good. That's pretty good.
To continue to build those opportunities, like the different groups and things that I see coming up all the time. That's definitely an. And yeah, the freedom, I already touched on, like the reenactment type thing,
mm-hmm.
Give kids an option to learn hands-on.
Right.
Everybody's different.
Yeah.
And I mean, ideally, because with the whole budget thing and the kids, and enrollment, I'd love to see that lower taxes, that needs to come down.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, we have some really high taxes around here. Everybody knows it. Everybody complains about it.
Yeah, we're having a discussion whether or not we need to raise taxes. We never have a discussion of whether we can lower taxes.
Them.
That never happens.
Yeah,
nobody ever says that. Oh, we kept it the same. We didn't raise it. Well, but what's the trade-off here?
Well, and it's why are we losing students? Well, because no one's moving here. Why aren't they moving here? Well, because...
Taxes are too high.
If they build on all the edges of our county, because Indiana's taxes are lower, Butler's taxes are lower, and even Allegheny County's are lower in some instances, which
That's
is
crazy.
Wild. So, or Westmoreland certainly is lower.
Yeah, if we had lower taxes, we could be like the next Cranberry Township.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like, why did everyone leave Pittsburgh and go to Cranberry Township? Well, low, taxes were lower.
I look at the Pittsburgh Mills. You know, they built that big mall. And then they're like, why don't we have any people in here for the businesses? Well, you, the few people you have, you make it super expensive. If you would lower the cost, you could have more people in there and essentially make more.
Right, right. Yep. Okay. So last question. I'll give you, you know, 1 minute each. What makes you the right person? Start with you, Melissa.
Oh, put me on the spot. Yeah. Why should people vote for you? Well, I'm just your average Joe, Jill, your average Jill. We'll go with that. Sure. I'm not, you know, I'm from the area. I've seen just the things that I've seen myself. With my kids being homeschooled, I've been able to see different opportunities within the community of, you know, different outreach things that can be done with the libraries and, cadet programs and things. I was looking at something recently for my oldest daughter of Air Patrol. Mm-hmm. You know, that's something I never knew even existed until recently.
Right.
It needs to be transparent. I'm going to make it known what is going on. I don't know. Is that a minute?
That's a minute. Yeah. Go ahead.
All right. I need very, very tall buildings for my elevator pitch because... I have a problems with brevity, but whenever I'm on the school board, you are going to see what's going on at the school because of the transparency, like Missy was talking about. We're going to be transparent with our budget. You're going to see areas where we can cut the budget, where we can make a difference, and because the budget will be more transparent, I believe in many eyes can find little things. Mm-hmm. And so we'll open that up to crowdsourcing that budget of where can we make cuts. We're going to allow our community values to be represented at the school. We're going to do some creative things with those grants and those strings that are tied to it and find ways to work around in the Armstrong County way of doing things that we can have schools that reflect the value of our community. Mm-hmm. Because our community is great and has great values.
Great morals. Yeah.
Amen. Okay. I love it. So I know you guys won't be on the ballot for the primary, but you are looking for signatures to get that whole process so you'll have on the general. What's the best way for people to get in touch with you if they wanted to give you a signature? And what's the process to do that? Like, do they need to be part of a specific party? What do they have to do to kind of be qualified to give you a signature?
To be qualified to sign our petition, you need two things. You need to live in the region, which Missy did a great job of memorizing all the different townships and boroughs that are part of our region, which I have not yet. But if you want to know if you're in the region, ask Missy. She has it memorized. So you have to be a registered voter who lives in our region. You can be a Democrat. You can be a Republican. You can be a socialist. But if you're a socialist in transparency, you probably don't want to sign our petition. but if you want to, we're not going to stop you. One place where I will have our signatures available for you to sign is in a couple weeks. We are doing the Great Race, the grueling 0.5K from the courthouse to the river here in Katanning.
That's right.
It's a grueling downhill race. if you have enough energy after running that 0.5K all downhill.
Or walking.
or walking.
Yeah.
You can take a break in the middle.
You can roll down it if you want to.
But we'll be there. I'll have some petitions there with the Libertarian Party booth that's there. So feel free to stop by and see us and get your name on one of our petitions.
And you both have campaign pages on Facebook and that stuff too?
Mm-hmm. We have our campaign pages on Facebook. If you look for John Thomas Region 2, Armstrong School Board Region 2, you will find me.
Okay.
And I think yours is named the same thing, right?
Similar, yeah. Without looking at it, I don't know off the top of my head. But yeah, it's Melissa Wadding, Region 2 School Board. Also, reaching out through Facebook, I'll message back. I do have an email set up, wadding.melissa@gmail.com.
Okay.
That's what I made, so that's another way. Otherwise, if you need to, I mean, we have businesses right up to 68 too. Just stop in the door and I'll be there.
Yeah.
At ABN Computers, and they're just drive up and we'll get you taken care of.
Very cool. Well, I'll put all the links to your pages in the description, and I might just throw in a link for the 0.5K grueling race that you might want to participate in. I will be there, and my children will be as well, and so we'd love to see you come out and support Connections of Armstrong County, which is another great organization here in the neighborhood. So that's it. That's all I have. I really appreciate you guys taking the time. You know, I think it's important to have candidates that are not looking at things the same way that it's always been looked at. And so I really appreciate your guys' perspective and your heart. And I hope that you guys enjoyed it as well.
Absolutely. I'm so grateful for you having us on. And I really enjoyed this conversation. Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see you guys in the next one. If you have any other candidates that you want me to interview, have them get in touch with me or tell me and I'll get in touch with them. But that's it for today. God bless you guys. Have a great day.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you.